Our lives are filled with a lot of different blessings, and a lot of times we just take them for granted. We don't oftentimes take time to count our blessings. In fact, we just basically assume they're always going to be there. In fact, we get to the point we might feel that we even deserve those blessings. For instance, take a look at Jonah and the attitude that he showed. In Jonah chapter 4, Jonah 4, and starting at verse 5, then Jonah went up from the city and sat east of it. And there he made a shelter for himself and sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen in the city. So the Lord God appointed a plant, and it grew up over Jonah to be a shade over his head, to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. But God appointed a worm when dawn came the next day, and it attacked the plant, and it withered. When the sun came up, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head, so they became faint, and he begged with all his soul to die, saying, "Death is better to me than life." Jonah had received a seemingly minor blessing from God. A plant grew up to give him shade. But when that blessing ended, Jonah became mad. He basically assumed that he had a right to continue to enjoy what had been given to him. And the point I want to make is for us to understand, too often we do the same thing. We get things from God, we have blessings from God, and not only do we forget where the blessing comes from, but we have this idea that, well, of course it's going to stay that way. Rather, we need to have Job's attitude. In Job chapter 1, Job, for no fault of his own, lost everything that he had. And he says, then Job rose up, in verse 20, and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Job's attitude was, well, I didn't bring it into this world, so everything I have comes from God. And I'm not taking anything with me. So it's God's decision to take if he so desires. We ought to recognize where our blessings come from. And we also need to remember that they're gifts that don't have to continue. And if we realize that, then perhaps we'll be a little more thankful for the fact that they are currently there. We had as our scripture reading Luke chapter 12. And I won't take time to reread that, but in Luke chapter 12, verse 16, it says the rich man was abundantly blessed with more than he could use. That's why he decided to build barns and store it. He was satisfied with how his life has turned out. He expected that abundance. He says that he's going to build it for many years, that he could enjoy what God had given him. But he had no plans for using God's blessings to further God's work. And that's why he was called a fool, because his life wasn't going to last that long. It was going to end that night. What do you do with God's blessings? See, Jesus warned us about priorities. Take a look. Oops. Take a look at Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6, and look at verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We need to work on our priorities. What's most important in our lives? There's a story about judgment that's in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and starting at verse 31. It says, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his right, or left, sorry, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to the least one of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And in that story, what separated the sheep from the goats? What's emphasized here is their deeds of kindness. Feeding the hungry, giving drinks to the thirsty, clothing the naked, visiting those in prison. The ones blessed by the Lord were those who had used the blessings to bring glory to God. The condemned were the ones who overlooked their opportunities to do good. See, God desires for us to do kind things. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs 19, and in verse 2. Also, it is not good for a person to be without knowledge. Oops. And I wrote down the wrong verse. I owe one. Let me check to see if it's 12. Nope, not that one either. 22? Thank you. What is desirable in a man is his kindness, and is better to be a poor man than a liar. That is what God desires from each one of us. It should not be confused with thinking that, well, this is all the Lord wants. Okay, we shouldn't get to the idea that our whole religion should be based upon just doing deeds of kindness, or that somehow these deeds earn us heaven. But rather what we need to understand is deeds of kindness are characteristics of those who are righteous. Those who are following God, that's the type of person they are. They do deeds of kindness. In fact, take a look at Hosea. Hosea chapter 4. And in verse 1, as Israel falls, and God is explaining to them why, he says in verse 1 of Hosea chapter 4, listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel, for the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land, because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes. Along with the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky and also the fish of the sea disappear. What is wrong? What was wrong with Israel? They didn't have a knowledge of God, but it was also they didn't have a kindness. They didn't have faithfulness. How did they get into this state where they were treating and becoming a violent society? Well, Hosea 4 and verse 6, he says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. But it also mentions in verse 7, it says, the more they multiply, the more they sinned against me. I will charge their glory, or change their glory into shame. They feed on the sin of my people and direct their desires toward iniquity. As their population grew, so did it grow the number of sins that were being committed. And down in verse 12, it says, my people consult wooden idols, and their diviner's wand informs them, for a spirit of harlotry has led them astray. And they played the harlot, departing from their God. They offered sacrifices on tops of mountains and burned incense on the hills, under oaks, on poplars, and timbereth. Because their shade is pleasant, therefore your daughters play the harlot, and your brides commit adultery. Will I not punish your daughters when they play the harlot, and your brides when they commit adultery? For the men themselves go part with harlots and offer sacrifices with temple prostitutes. So the people without understanding are ruined. They chased after false religion. But what's one of the characteristics that God pointed out at the beginning? They're lacking knowledge. They don't have faithfulness. They're committing more and more sins. They're going after false gods. And at the beginning, God says, I don't see any kindness. God's word teaches us to be kind to other people. You don't often find that in other religions. God's word instructs us to be kind. And those who don't follow God's word in many other ways are not kind. That's why people are violent. That's why they prey on each other. They're not following what God teaches. It's interesting in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 3. It says, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Kindness and truth are bound together. The truth teaches us to be kind. Kindness shows that we are following the truth. And we're going back then, we got to understand, you can't keep the blessings that you receive here on earth. That's what God pointed out to the man with this problem when he asked, who will be all these things after you're dead? That rich man who had all that wealth, he was going to build barns. The Lord asked, well, who's going to be these things? All the things they accumulated, because you can't take it with you. You can't control what happens after you. Over in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. and in verse 17. He says, so I hated life, for the work which was done under the sun was grievous to me, because everything is futility and is striving after the wind. Thus I hated all the fruit of my labor, for which I had labored under the sun, for I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise or man or a fool? Yet he will have control over all the fruit of my labor, for which I have labored by acting wisely under the sun. This too is a vanity. I don't get to choose what happens to my goods after I'm dead. Somebody else is going to take it. Might be do good with it, might not do good with it. But I don't have control. But I do have control over what I have today. The money, the things that I have control over that today. And when I make use of God's blessings, God rewards that. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs 11 and in verse 24. There is one who scatters and yet increases all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. God brings more blessings when we use his blessings to further his work. When you do good, it tends to come back to you. It tends to result in good coming back towards you as well. You benefit from it. And how you use what you have been given is rewarded to you. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do what he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. This is why God blesses us, so that we might do good, and then he blesses us more. And people that we are doing good to then are able to thank God for the blessings they receive. So we need to make use of what we have. There's a parable, and we're going to talk about it in greater detail this evening, but there's a parable called the parable of the unjust steward. And in that parable, I want you to take note of one piece of it. In Luke chapter 16, and in verse 8, and his master praised the unrighteous manager because he acted shrewdly. For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourself by means of the wealthy, the unrighteous, so that when it fails, they will receive you into eternal dwellings. He was praised, the unrighteous steward was praised for using his master's wealth to benefit other people. Because he plotted it and realized it would benefit him as well. We need to make use of what we have here on earth to bring others to heaven. Notice this says they will receive him at the end of their, into eternal dwellings. When the righteous makes use of God's generosity and God's gifts, God's blessings, such that other people are then brought to Christ. What better price have we paid to help God out than to see other people when we get to heaven who benefited from the generosity we have done? So make use of what you have here on earth to bring others to heaven so that they will receive you in turn when you go. Or as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 28. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather let him, he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who has need. What a concept. Work. Work hard enough that you have extra. It's not saying that you go into poverty and go debt yourself, but work so you have extra so that you can share with people. So that you can be generous. To help out those who are really actually in need. Or as Paul pointed out in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting at verse 17, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of what is life indeed. Therein is what we need to do. Use the blessings that we have to provide a good foundation for eternal life. What are we doing with God's blessings? Are we acknowledging and thankful not only that He's given them to us, but are we spreading it so that others are thankful too? Is God's work being furthered by what God has blessed us with? I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God and would like to pray with your brother on behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.